This morning I'm wanting to talk about wells. Have you got a well in the back garden? No? Has anybody got a well in the back garden? Yes. Yeah, and ours has been there, but it hasn't functioned for a very long time, so I don't know what's in it really, because we've got a stream. But in the Bible, it talks about wells quite a lot. You know why a city's called Wells? Do you know that? Have you ever been to Wells, the city? Near Glastonbury? Have you? Yeah? And what's special about Wells? Do you know? Is there anything you've noticed as you've walked along the street? Anybody know anything special about Wells? Water running down the street all the time. Yeah. From a number of springs that happen, and then I believe it comes out of the moat from the Bishop's Palace and runs down through the high street. And I don't know of anywhere else where that happens, but it is quite interesting seeing that there. But wells were talked about in the Bible quite a lot. And the first instance we have of wells in the Bible, as far as I can make out, and is in Genesis and chapter 16. And there's a story there, or a true story there, of a girl called Hagar, who was, Abraham and Sarah were getting on a bit. And they wanted children, and God has promised them that they would have children. And they were having a struggle with having children, and so they thought that they would devise a way of having children. And so Hagar was Sarah's servant girl, and she went and had a baby by Abraham instead of Sarah, because Sarah couldn't have one. And that caused all sorts of problems. You know, sometimes when God promises something, we try to help him. And we don't get on too well sometimes, and we cause all sorts of problems. Well, I don't think there's much bigger problem than that was caused. Well, Adam and Eve caused the biggest problem of all when sin came into the world. But after that, I suppose Abraham trying to work out how to have children was probably the next biggest problem. Because basically, the world problems that we have today, besides being as a result of sin, is also as a result of Abraham trying to work out things for God. And there's just a reminder there, isn't there? Because Ishmael grew up, and many of the people of the East originated from Ishmael. But there's a reminder there, isn't there, of something that's fairly important. And that is that we need to trust God a little bit more sometimes and not try and work it out for ourselves. It's ever so easy, isn't it, to try and help God and think that he needs a little bit of help on certain issues. And basically, he doesn't. What he needs from us is trust. I know sometimes he asks us to do certain things, but we need to be careful that we're in his will and not. Sometimes we're a little bit impatient, aren't we? And we want it to happen a bit quicker than God's schedule. So that was the first situation. And as a result of it, there was a lot of jealousy between Sarah and her maidservant, because she had a baby coming. And that was causing problems. And so Hagar was kicked out, basically, and went out into the desert and had a small amount of water. And when that lot of water ended, she put her baby out the way so that she didn't watch him die. And God provided a well. She looked up and found a well right out there in the desert. God had done that for her. And, you know, that's what happened. But what we need to remember also is that today there are lots of people in the world nearly in the same situation, lacking water. Water is likely to be the biggest problem that the world faces in the future. I was reminded when I went to the States, I've only been three times, but, you know, when I went there, I've got some vivid memories still, and I remember going in the plane over Phoenix in Arizona, and there was some great big green circles, and that was irrigation, and that was the only grass or green stuff that you saw. And every year in Phoenix, Arizona, they have to drill deeper and deeper to get the water, because they're drawing on and taking more than what is, if you like, coming in. And so I believe that water is going to be one of the, or the big problem in the future, especially if we see climate change happening. So that's where we start in the Bible with wells. You know, God provided a well. And I can't pronounce the name of it. Somebody else perhaps can. But we'll need to note that for later on. But Jesus met a lady at the well. And we're going to read about that later. But there's a little old chorus that goes, I'm feeding on the living bread. And I don't know how many of you can remember singing this when you were younger. How many? Anybody? Eileen can. Well done. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to sing it a couple of times. What's important is to remember that Jesus said that we would never thirst again if we drink of the water of life that he has. I'm going to read now from Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou should not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I need bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and sware unto him concerning this matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of the master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, under the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God, my master of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. We'll look at that passage and the rest of it. I'm going to read now from John chapter 4. John's Gospel chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. And then he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. And his disciples were gone away into the city to buy him food. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that said to you, Give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said to her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. I trust God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. I wonder if we could have a time of prayer now. Right, wells. We find that they're a source of blessing throughout the Bible. As we mentioned earlier on, for Hagar, it was blessing in a time of sorrow. Things were not going her way. She wasn't getting on very well at all. And in fact, she was desperate. And yet God provided a well. And we need to be encouraged by that. I'd like us then to look at the story that we read about Abraham's servant. Sometimes when we got problems, or we need to find a solution to a problem, we know that God wants something to happen. And so sometimes a list of criteria are laid down. And Abraham did just that. He wanted a wife for Isaac, and the system, as I see it, is that you went near a well, and it all seemed to work out. If you look through the Bible, you'll see that happened with Isaac. It happened with Jacob. It happened with Moses. And so it goes on. Now, today, I don't suppose you'd be going by a well. For some in the farming fraternity, Young Farmers Club used to be the sort of source of finding a wife or whatever. And different people go to different venues and suddenly they get on and meet somebody and it all happens. But I want us to look carefully at what happened with Abraham. First of all, he prayed. And then his servant prayed. And his servant was obedient to his master. He was in control of everything, the servant. You know, Abraham left all of it to him. A bit like Pharaoh left it to Joseph, didn't he? When Egypt was having a bit of a problem with the famine, Pharaoh left it all to Joseph to see to. And so it was with the problem of getting a wife for Isaac. Obviously, it was a different system in those days to what we have today. But anyway, Abraham was sure about one thing, and that was that he wanted the wife to be of the same, if you like, dispensation as he was. He didn't want a Canaanite to marry Isaac. He wanted someone who was of the Lord's line. And in some senses, that's still true today, isn't it? Scripture encourages us to be not unequally yoked, to marry someone who is a Christian, if we are a Christian. Anyway, for that purpose, Abraham sent his servant off, and he went quite a journey, and he went by a well. But before he got to the well, he prayed. And he prayed that whoever might come to the well, and he asked for water, that the young lady might give him water, but also say that she would give to the camels as well water. And so we read in Genesis there, in the passage we read, and further on from that, that this servant went to the well, and before he hardly stopped praying, Rebecca arrived. And he asked for water, and she gave him water, and then offered the camels to have some water as well, exactly as he prayed. Can you think of instances in your life when you prayed for specifics and God has answered? You know, I can think of even when we came here. We asked for specifics and God answered. You know, and it's amazing how God does answer a prayer even when we ask specifically about things. And, you know, so that's good. And so we see here that, you know, the servant was there. The young lady came and did all that he prayed for. And then he inquired where she was from. And so we find that she was a reasonably close relative of the family. And so that was okay. It met the criteria. And so she was asked if she would come and be Isaac's wife, basically. And then she said yes. You know, that was an answer to prayer, because Abraham was getting on in years and he was not quite sure what was going to happen, and yet God had promised this to him, and he you know, he tried to help God a bit and made all sorts of hash because of it. So we find that the young lady came, and as they came back, Isaac was out in the country. We find that he'd been out there he'd been meditating, we read, and he was by a well when she came by. And she wondered who this strange young man was out in the fields, and it was her future husband. But it was interesting that the well that he was by was the same one that gave blessing to Hagar as well when she was struggling with survival. God, if you like, in his word, links things up. He doesn't just do things randomly. There's always some link there. And so we find that Isaac and Rebecca married, and that went on well. And then we find that Jacob came to a well, and there he met Rachel. And again, it was a meeting by a well. You know, it was a focal point. I suppose if you lived in a very arid region, the reality is that unless there's water there, you don't live. And so we find that there they were, out in this region, and there was a well. Jacob met Rachel, and he had lots of problems actually getting to marry her. I think it was 14 years later, wasn't it, that he was allowed to marry her. There was quite a bit of deception going on and all the rest of it, and then he worked for quite a time there. But Abraham, going back to Abraham, dug lots of wells. Wherever he went, he dug wells because they couldn't survive without it. And it's interesting, isn't it, that today Tear Fund is fairly heavily involved in digging wells or digging boreholes or making boreholes and providing taps. We've got some toilets out there that have been twinned with different parts, but I understand Tear Fund do taps as well now. And, you know, they're providing water. Water is a focal point for everything because we can't do without it. You know, what are we, 80% water in a rate or something like that? I mean, I don't know what the exact figure is, but that's something like it if you looked at it from a technical point of view or a breakdown point of view. That's where we are. But Abraham dug lots of wells. And we find that when the Philistines came along after Abraham, they filled in most of the wells. And it caused great problems as a result. And I think there is a spiritual application here as well. Because, if you like, Jesus has said, he's like a well of water springing up to eternal life. And the way in which the Philistines blocked in the wells and stopped that joy happening applies to us as well. If we let sin come into our lives, it blocks off that spring of joy. It blocks off those wells. And we find that Isaac had to redig the wells. And it's important for us, isn't it, that when sin blocks our lives, that we get rid of it, that we repent and we ask for God's forgiveness so that that spring of water from the Lord Jesus can flow to us again. So that's what happened when Abraham died. If you like, the Philistines came, blocked the wells. And it's a bit like that with us, isn't it? Sometimes if we lose our joy, if we take our eye off the Lord Jesus, you know, we can allow sin to come into our lives. And, you know, it blocks our joy. We find that later on in Exodus 26 and verse 32, they found water. They've been digging out the holes and they found water. And that's a bit like us, isn't it? Not that we find water, but the Lord Jesus is like water in that sense. You know, when we find him, then we can live. In those days, without water, they couldn't live. And without the Lord Jesus, our lives can't be full either. So that's just some things that happen. Then we read that Moses, he, when he fled from Egypt because he killed the Egyptians and the Hebrews knew about it and he knew that he had to get out, he fled and he went to a well in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 15, I think it is. But he went to a well and there he met Rachel, you know, and that was a blessing as well. David longed for water from the well at Bethlehem, even though he was isolated from it, and the Philistines were in control of it. And three of his mighty men went through the Philistine army and got some water from the well at Bethlehem. And when they brought it back to him, we find that David poured it out. He said, I couldn't drink of it. You risked your lives for this. And he poured it out in worship to God. You know, that's what he did. Then we could go along, you know, to the fact in John 4. And that's where I'd like us to go, to the well that Joe showed us there. Jesus had needs to go through Samaria, we read. You know, Jews didn't go through Samaria. They took a huge detour in order not to go through Samaria. But Jesus went through Samaria. He did it. That was not according to the rules. You know, and there are some people that are good at not doing according to the rules. But, you know, he went through and he stopped at the well. He was tired. He wanted a drink. And his disciples had gone off into the town to get some food. And this lady from Samaria came and he asked her for some water and got into a thrilling conversation. And this well was a blessing of salvation. You know, he said, please give me to drink. And she said, well, what are you doing asking me? First of all, I'm a woman. And secondly, I'm from Samaria. And Jews don't have anything to do with Samaritans. So why are you asking me this situation? And he was thirsty. And that's why he asked. But he also had another meaning to it as well. He wanted her to come to know him, the one who provides living water. And she quizzed him on it. And, you know, he said to her, well, you go and find your husband. And she'd had four husbands, I think it was, and the person she was living with at the moment wasn't her husband and all the rest of it. And that's why she came at that time of day, because she was basically not wanted by the rest of the people in the town. And anyway, she talked with him and sort of talked about Jacob's well. And, you know, Jesus said, I can give you living water and you will never need to thirst again. And she says, are you greater than our father Jacob? You know, at least she had some knowledge there. Thank you, Joe. And it said, whosoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And the fact was that they talked together and Jesus explained the gospel and pointed out that he was the Messiah, that he was greater than Jacob who provided that well. And she came to acknowledge him as the Christ. And she then went and told went back to the city and told all the folks that she'd met the Messiah, the Christ. And she got quite excited about it, and so the people came because of what she said. But the thrilling thing at the end of John's Gospel, chapter 4, was the fact that people came and said, "We believe Jesus is the Christ, not because of what you've told us, not because of what change has taken place in you, but because we've met him ourselves." And that's the thrilling thing, isn't it? Out of that well, and that meeting at that well, came salvation of many people. And that's what we want to do here. We want to tell about the Lord Jesus. We hope that people will see by our lives that we're a bit different. Perhaps people will hear because we talk to them about the Lord Jesus. But the real truth is, what we desire, what Jesus desires, is that each one of us knows him, who will give us the water that will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus met that lady at the well and changed her life completely. We may not meet him at the well, but each one of us needs to meet him so that our lives can become transformed to a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I trust that each one of us will find that to be true. Amen. We'll conclude by singing number 275, please, if we could. And in the second verse it says, "I heard the voice of Jesus say, 'Behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him.' I trust that might be true for each one of us." 275, please, Jim. Thank you. Pray as we go out into the coming week that each one of us might know the joy of sins forgiven, know the gift of the water that springs up to everlasting life. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to share that news with those around us too, like the woman at the well did. For we ask it for your name's sake. Amen.